Well, thanks for joining us today, Leslie.
You're welcome.
And you are running for the school board once again. The election is next Tuesday. Can you tell the listening audience a little bit about why you're running again and what you think you've accomplished over your past term that makes you worthy of being on the school board again?
Well, one of the things I would like to see completed, when I started on the school board, I had a real passion for wanting to work towards improving the quality of the curriculum and helping serve the community as far as keeping expenses reasonable with the school. And I think we have worked very well, made a lot of progress. It's not me, it's every member of the board as well as the staff and the superintendent of the school that have worked together to try to keep things going, to progress as far as let the curriculum evolve. The one-to-one program, the laptop program, is a good example of how we have explored trying to advance the way education is delivered. And I would like to continue with the school board because I think it's very important for us to provide our students with the best education we can and make sure that our teachers have the resources and the training that they need to deliver the highest level of education, and then also make sure that the district does that in a fiscally responsible manner. And we have to be fiscally responsible, not only for the taxpayers, but for all the people who are employed by the school system. It's important for the school system to stay financially sound so that we can continue to educate our students the best way we can.
What do you think is one issue facing the district, or two, you can elaborate if you want, that you know needs to be corrected or adjusted?
Like every rural school district, there are budget issues that are going to be facing us as we move down the pike. This year, there are federal funds that were given to the state and then passed to the school districts that were specifically there for maintaining teachers and school employees. And that gave each school district a little bit of a cushion to help us in a year when the state did not give us any allowable growth. Now, next year we will have some allowable growth, which means extra money for the school district, but that federal money will go away. So we do need to do some adjusting. We've had declining enrollment, which means declining dollars for education of our students. We took some big steps at the elementary level to adjust for smaller class sizes at the elementary level. Some of those smaller classes are now moving into the middle school and the high school, and we want to make sure that we have the correct number of teachers, the right mix of courses that the students need, and yet not have rooms where there's only 6 or 10 students in a class, unless it's a very advanced class in high school. We need to keep our teachers and student ratios aligned at those higher grade levels.
All right, and what do you think is something that the school district has been successful over the past 4 years?
I think we've been very successful as far as the implementation of the one-to-one program, for example. You know, trying to provide our teachers with resources they need. There's a lot of educational programs, staff development programs that are done on these days off from school that help the teachers be better teachers. Another example here a few years ago, some of the teachers who've been teaching for a while commented to the principals that they were teaching students to read a different way than they had learned when they were in school, and it's a more effective way. And so we hired a reading coordinator, someone who could teach the staff who'd been out of school longer, teach them some of the new techniques so that they would be able to teach reading more effectively. And so those are just a few of the programs that we've looked at. We're working on getting the core curriculum. You know, we have some mandates as to when that has to be adopted into the school system. And now we're also taking a look at the auditorium. So, I mean, we've done several things in the past, but we're kind of in that transition period where we're starting some things, and I would like to stay involved to make sure that we move forward effectively and deliver what the taxpayers want as far as education.
And the auditorium is going to be a major expenditure for the district for the next several years if it goes as planned out. What is your vision for the future for the auditorium and getting the public involved in it, getting the citizens of the district involved in it, and how do you foresee that playing out over the next several years?
Well, I think if you ask the average citizen, you know, they're of the Knoxville School District, they're going to say, yeah, we really would like to see an auditorium. By the same token, I think they're concerned about what their property taxes are now. They don't want them increased or anything if that can be helped. And so I want to make sure that we do get an auditorium built and do it in a financially responsible manner. We have some money from the SAVE dollars, that from sales tax money, if you will, that can be used for that. And so that's something that if we keep the auditorium right size, you know, we don't want to get too extravagant with it, but yet we want to make sure that it's good for our school district. We don't want something that is not big enough for us or not doesn't give us all the facilities that we might need in conjunction with that auditorium. So we want to right-size that auditorium in a manner that we can pay for it out of those SAVE dollars, and that will have less impact on property taxes. For the average citizen, the way the school works, I think, is very confusing to them because they think about us being worried about teacher costs and administration costs and those things, and that yet we're talking about spending money on an auditorium. But the school really has, in essence, two checkbooks. One of them has money that can only be used for buildings and building maintenance and those kinds of things, or for technology upgrades, and that's that SAVE money and what they call the PEPL fund. The other checkbook is for the operating costs, which are things like paying for teacher salaries, paying for books, paying for paper, you know, copy machines, fuel for the buses, those kinds of things. And that's the checkbook that is hard-pressed to have enough money in it every year. So we need to kind of look at both of those sides, help the citizens understand that the auditorium, you know, building an auditorium does not have an impact on what we pay our teachers. It's a different checkbook that builds that auditorium.
All right, anything else you wanted to say in closing?
I would like to say that I've really enjoyed working with the current school board members. It's been a challenge, but I think that it's really important for us to give our kids a quality education. That's the best way we can send them into the world, and I think that's important enough that I hope people will support the school board, support me in staying part of the school board, and allow us to do what we need to do and allow us to provide the teachers with the resources they need to give those kids that quality education.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Leslie, for joining us today.
You're welcome.